You may be seated. All right, we're talking about answering the call. Now, let me buzz forward here because we're all called. God called Abraham and God called him. And it said, look what it said there back before you look at that. And hopefully you opened your Bible that you're watching as and looking at the word as we read it. It says, by faith. So it wasn't his works, it was his faith. And we've talked about faith. We're talking about not just believing that something's true, but we're talking about believing something so much that you are trusting, right? Because, see, there's a difference. Because when we say we believe Jesus, we mean something different than we say I believe something else. Because I believe that Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. But I'm not trusting Columbus for anything. When I say I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected to give me a new life, it means something totally different. It means I am trusting him. I am submitting to him as Lord of my life. I am relying completely upon him. It is not my works. It is what Jesus did on the cross one day when we stand before God in heaven. And he says, enter in, good and faithful servant. I'm not going to get any credit or glory because of what I've done. All the glory goes to Jesus because he did it all. Even the good works that come through my life that we will be rewarded for, still, it wasn't just me. It was him working through me. He gets the glory for that as well. But because I trust him, because I'm submitted to him, because I'm relying upon him, it's going to have an effect on my life. I want to obey him. It's going to produce. So did you see that? By faith, he obeyed. If you have faith, you're going to want to obey. It's not a duty. It's not, well, I've got to do this. It's a desire. I pray that God would change us from being focused on our duty to being filled with desire to serve him. There's just no comparison. Now, God called. The call of faith. God is calling for you to trust him. God called Abraham and ask him to trust him and follow him. He's not going to give you all the details. He says, follow me. The question is, will I answer the call of faith? That is, God calls. He bids you. He gets your attention in some way. He tugs at your heart. And he's giving you his truth. And he's saying, I want you to believe it. I want you to trust me. I want you to step out and answer the call. I'm glad he's calling. We believe in the call. In fact, Jesus talked about the call. I could have done a whole series of sermons on the call as I was studying this week. I got plumb sidetracked just, oh, this is amazing, about how God calls us. Anyway, let me come back to this because Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. What's Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about the call. How that he draws us, he calls us. And that's what he's doing here. And not only that, but Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And that's that call, that's that draw where he touches your heart. He's knocking on the door. He's ringing your phone. Will you pick up? He's calling. All right. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus was speaking and he said, and these are some verses you might want to make a note of and come back and there are a whole bunch more. Get in your concordance. You got YouVersion Bible app, just in the New Testament, search for called, or any of those, and you're going to find a lot of verses and start studying them. But it says in verse 13 of chapter 9 of Matthew, he said, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I mean, you can bring your sacrifice. In other words, you can do all the religious duties. And that's good. But if that's all you're doing is your duty, God says that's not good. Because he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's what he's referring to there. He says, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. People who know that they're sinners. And see, this is another thing that's different about the gospel, about Christianity, than all the other religions of the world, is because all the other religions of the world have to do with you bettering yourself and everything. But this starts with you starting out by saying, I can't. So if you're here today saying, I can't do it. If you're here today saying, I am a sinner. If you're here today and you're saying, I have messed up. I have all kinds of whatever you want to say there. Then you're just the kind of person that Jesus is calling. because he said that you call the righteous. And by the way, Jesus' words are loaded right here, because as you read the scriptures, you find out that there are how many righteous, really? None, Bible says. No, not one. Romans chapter 3, and he's quoting the Old Testament there. There are none right. On our own, we don't measure up. The only way you could measure up is that if in your thoughts and your attitudes, as well as your actions, all of your life, if you have been as perfect as God, if you've been as perfect as Jesus Christ, then you could call yourself righteous. And when you die, you could also brush any angel or whoever might be in your way out of the way, march right up to the throne, declare, God, I, the righteous one of here, is here, move over, there are now two of us. Can I say this in a very correct way? Ain't gonna happen. We're all sinners. In fact, he said that none of us even seek after God, Romans chapter 3. I didn't know I was going to talk so much about Romans chapter 3. I put it up there. None of us even seek him. That is, on our own, we are so corrupted. We are so, the theological word is depraved. We are so depraved that on our own, we don't even seek him. We must be drawn. That's what Jesus was talking about. But he, and those who, what he's saying here is, I said his words are loaded. He's talking about those who think they are righteous on their own. And there are a lot of people that way. They think, see, and you know, if you really press them, they probably would admit, oh, I'm not perfect. But, you know, they like to pick your sins and judge you. But somehow they think they're perfect, but they're not. Those are the kind of people, because he didn't come to call them, because why? They're not listening. They don't want to hear it. They don't think they need it. But the ones that know they need it, when you find it, see, that's why the first thing in the gospel is to recognize that I am a sinner. I need it. He come to call sinners to repentance. And that has to do with making a change. That has to do with turning completely around. That has to do with going from trusting in me to trusting him. Okay, let's see what's next. Another verse. I've got a few verses I want to get to here as we get into this. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, but we are bound. This is Paul talking. I love this. He says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. The Word of God is so alive and powerful. I'm telling you, if you're reading the Bible and you're all this and going to Bible study and you think it's boring, I got news for you. The Bible is not boring. You may be boring, but it's not. I just want to give thanks to God for you. Look around and, you know, God is, oh, you're a blessing, you're a gift. God, I tell you, a lot of what God does in my life, he does through you. And I hope God uses me in your life. But it just proves that if I isolate myself from the body of Christ, you know the church is also called the body of Christ in the New Testament. We're part of a body. And my physical body, is using an illustration, has fingers and arms and legs and things like that. All members of my body are connected to each other, and they're all connected to the head, which the Bible says the head is Jesus in Ephesians. We're connected. So if I try to isolate myself and I think I don't need to be with other believers, I don't need to be involved and connected with a local church, I just, you know, just being me and Jesus, got our own thing going. Sound like a good country song, doesn't it? But anyway, it was a country song. Anyway, not a good one. That's not a gospel song. Don't request that at church. Not gospel song. I say that because, Glenn, I don't know if it was you or somebody, he's got so many stories of pastoring for you know, just shortly after Paul got done with the, you know, his letters, and somebody ask sing that song that just really moved their heart about Detroit? Is something about Detroit City? Oh, it's, oh Lord, I want to go home. You know, it was a song, you know, it was a country song. And then, you know, there was a gospel group that switched over to country, and back in the late 70s, they had that song that was real popular, Heaven's Just a Sin Away. Yeah, you know, had that requested. Yeah, that's all, yeah. And you know, so we can get really, really, really off track there. And we don't want to do that. But you and Jesus don't have your own thing going, because he says you're part of my body. That means you're connected to others, whether you like it or not. One thing that Satan always tries to do is to get us to isolate ourselves from each other. And when that happens, we become pretty easy pickings for Satan. He begins to get us discouraged, depressed, and off track. And so that's one reason we need this. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for how he works in my life through you. says, I thank God, give thanks to God for you always, not just sometimes, not just when we're getting along, not just whenever I find you pleasant, but always. That's good times, bad times. Always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. It's talking about more than just brothers. It's talking about brothers and sisters, all the family of God. He said, beloved, and you need to remember that. Did you know you're beloved by God? I'm not going to get through this verse if I don't pick it up, am I? And it's just how powerful it is. It says, because God, from the beginning. What's he talking about? I think about it as the beginning as our minds can grasp, and that's where it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. From way back there, God chose you. God knows all things. Now, I'm not going to get into some of the theological muckety-muck on that because I want to tell you it's deeper than any of us can fathom. I want to say this about God, though. I make a choice. I try to get all the information I can, and I hope I make the right choice. God, however, is not like us. Why do we always want to make God like us? I mean, he came down to us, but he is infinite in wisdom. He knows all things. When God makes a choice, he cannot make a wrong or unfair choice. I don't understand that. I can't fully process that, but that's the truth. I accept it by faith. By the way, if we could logically process every bit of this in our minds, I'll tell you this. If I could process all of this in my mind, everything about God and how he exists and his wisdom and his eternality, if I could process it and explain it, he wouldn't be very great of a God if I could do it. He blows my mind constantly. That's why we say he's awesome. We're left to the point there are no words, and we're just left to say, oh, he's awesome. Awesome. He chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. He chose you to be his. How? Through salvation. He sold you for salvation. How's that going to happen? Two things happen here. Sanctification by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. See, I can't clean myself up enough. That once I do this. And belief in the truth. Did you know that word belief? You do understand that the New Testament was not written originally in English. We have translated and tried to do our best to keep translations that really connect with the way we use the language. But that word belief is the exact. You can check me out. I'm not trying to be cute. You can check me out on this. With the internet now, you can check out all this. You know, where before you didn't have the right books, but you can do it now. That word translated belief is the same root word in the Greek that is also translated faith. He's talking about not just mentally believing something's true, but he's talking about saving faith. So, and belief in the truth. You have faith. See, there it is. You have faith in God's truth. Because of that, and because of the supernatural work of God's presence in you, God the Spirit working in you, he is going to set you apart. That's what's at work in salvation. So God chose you. But he didn't just choose you. He called you. It says, to which he called you by our gospel. So how did he call you since he chose you? He let you hear the gospel. It was the gospel that we're talking about that calls you for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus. He's going to let his glory spill over on us forever. This is awesome. So this is what God's up to here. And so he is calling you. He has called many, but it says few are chosen. I don't have time to get into all of that. Jesus told a story one time about a wedding feast. And about all the invitations that were sent out. And guess what happened? I probably should have put it up there. People began to make excuses, didn't they? Why they couldn't come. He invited all these people. He called them, did he not? But they didn't come. Then he said, I want you to go out in the highways and the hedges, and I want you to get whoever will listen to come. Because I'm going to have my table, my house full. Those that answered the call became the chosen. Okay? He's calling you. Will you answer the call? He's chosen. He looked at you, and before you were born, he already knew all the rotten, horrible things that you would do. And even the things you hadn't done yet. And knowing all that about you, God still decided that you were worth dying for. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's not just about attending some type of church service. It's more than that. It's about a relationship with God. All right. So it says that, I don't know what just happened. Did you catch that? Obedience. Obedience is proof of your faith. It's not your works and what you do that saves you. It's what you do comes because you are saved. There are going to be works. There are going to be obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed. But I want to tell you, unless I'm operating by faith, I won't obey that well. I'll have a few things that I kind of check off my list. There'll be a lot of things on God's list that are not on mine. See? But my obedience and my desire, not duty, desire to want to walk with Him, that is the proof that I have faith. See, faith, oh man, this is good. Get ready for this, because faith is a noun. It's a thing. Faith is a noun. It starts out as a noun. It is that thing. That is that trust. It is that submission. It is that reliance upon God. But when it's real, here's what God does. He takes the noun and turns it into a verb, because your faith becomes faithfulness. Amen? Are you out there? Come on. You can respond. You're not spectators. You're participators today. That's why you say amen. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible. Did you know those are two words that have never been translated? That from the Hebrew to the Greek to the American, English? American English. Had somebody today come up, not yesterday. I haven't got much sleep, so bear with me. Yesterday come up and say, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Hartville." How about that, huh? Let's hear it for Hartville. Anyway, but I said, "Originally from Arkansas." He said, "Aha, I thought so." Because you were talking over, and all of a sudden you went off into this twang. And and so, anyway, he was from Bentonville, so it was okay. I'm sorry. But this is what God wants to turn the noun into the verb. All right, so the obedience is faithfulness. And He wants to do it for more than that, because He does the same thing with love. Love is a noun. God loved. God loves you. And I love in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, where it says, because of the great love, noun, with which He loved, verb, us. So God loves us. And you have love, the noun. If you really have the noun, it's going to turn into the verb. There are going to be acts of love that are going to flow out of your life, okay? That's something we're going to get into in the weeks ahead. We're going to focus on one of the purposes of the church. And one of the purposes, besides worship and besides evangelism and besides discipleship and besides fellowship, is ministry. That means serving. We're going to focus on that and about how the love of God is supposed to dwell in us, but love becomes an action word, so that we are, listen, this is what needs to happen in our community. Because here's a burden on my heart. We are not, I am convinced, making the impact on our families, and we are not, as a local church right here, we are not making the impact on Hartville and surrounding communities that we think we are. And see, what needs to happen is not just doing stuff out there. It's got to happen with our faith and answering the call of faith and being filled with the love of God. But if we've got that, it's going to translate into faithfulness and deeds of love, acts of love that are going to be done in and among them. And they're going to see that. They're going to see us doing things, acts of faith and love that are going to impact them. And they're going to say, this is not normal. What is the explanation? Then we get to share the gospel. We get to just show them the Lord. Amen. So obedience is proof. I've got to finish. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? Are we going to talk about Abraham? Hey, we've got a perfect example. Remember in Romans, he said that all these things, these Old Testament things, were written for an example. Let's look at his example. God called him. So I can learn some things about the call of faith by Abraham's call. I've got a real life person that really lived. He was called the friend of God. He's a man of faith. Father Abraham. Now, if you read the story, if you go through starting Genesis 12 and go on, you're going to find out Abraham did some really dumb things, didn't he? He did. I can relate to that. Can you, Mike? You're laughing. You laugh out loud. God, come on, respond. We can. He's our man. I can identify with that. But God, hey, isn't it amazing how that even though we're going to sometimes do some really dumb, ignorant things, and sometimes we are going to just be selfish and things, but still God can use us and teach us and grow us and help us. I want to keep growing, amen? I'm not saying it's okay to just go out and do something stupid, okay? But it's not good. But I'm just saying you'll try not to, but you probably will, because we're not going to be perfect till we get there, right? We're still growing. I mean, God sets us apart, but I'm still walking around in this body of flesh, right? In this world that's cursed by sin, and it's going to have an effect. But the call of faith is a call to step out into the unknown. If you go back, and I don't, you have to do this right now, but in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham, and it says right there that he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. And I think we read that a while ago. He said that he didn't know where it was. I want you to follow me. I'm going to show you. See, that's my problem. I want the roadmap. I want the whole thing. Lord, I want to show me. I want you to show. I'm a Missourian now. I want him to show me. See what you guys have done? See, I grew up in the natural state. Did you know Arkansas changed its motto? It used to be, when I was a kid, called the land of opportunity. And we got to looking around thinking about, finally I said, we got to change that because it's really not. They call it the natural state. It's just what happens, you know. Anyway, but show me. I want God to show me the map. I want to know where are the bumps, where are the things, and I want to know where this is going to end. God says, if I show you all that, then you don't have to walk by faith. That means you don't have to walk trusting me and relying upon me. I'll do it every time. I start relying on myself just like that if I don't watch it. So he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you where to put the next step. Because his word, see, I've got to be in fellowship with his church. I've got to be in prayer. I've got to have a relationship with him every day. I've got to be in his word, because did he not tell us in Psalm 119 that his word is a light to my path? He shows me the path. You've got to get on the right path. Young guys, well, look at these guys right up front. Hold on. Come on, right here. Are you getting involved now? There we go. Sometimes you just got a high five. They're sitting on the front row. They're listening. Y'all learned something. You learned something up there with Seth and everybody helping up there. But now you're really going to learn some stuff. That's why it's so important right now to get on the right path, you know, at this age. I'm telling you, the world we live in, if it doesn't happen at this age, it's going to be a battle. I mean, you can't wait till young people get to be teenagers and try to reach them in the world we live in. That might have been true at one time, not true now. It's right now. You got to get on the right path. Get on the right path. And his word is a light to the path. You're never going to find that path without being in his word and learning. That's why Sunday school, Bible study, preaching, worship, it's all so important. Studying at home, doing your devotions every day. Spend a little time in the word of God. It'll change your life. But it's not just a light to our path. It's a lamp to our what? Feet. Why does he say that? Because not only does it show me the path, it shows me where to put each foot step. And if I put this foot here, he shows me that. I'm in his word, and through his spirit, he shows where to put that step. That's all I get until I get that step made. And the Lord said, you have no business knowing where the next 10 steps are if you're not willing to take that first step. But once I do that, then he shows me where to take the next step. And I feel like if I live today putting each step where God tells me to by faith, if I do that, and I do it because I trust him, and then I do the same thing tomorrow, and I do the same thing the day after that, and I keep doing that, I can promise you if I'm still alive 10 years from now and this world's still here, I'll be exactly where God wants me to be, and I won't miss anything he has for me. But it starts with me following him today. And I hear people say all the time, I want to be right where God wants me. I want to be in his will. Starts with the next step and then the step after that. It's so simple. But it's into the unknown, because he's not going to show us everything. He says, trust me. And if you know it all, and some of us, anyway, never mind. If you have to know it all, then you're not going to walk by faith. And with Abraham, he's an illustration of that. Stepping out into unfamiliar ground. And Lord, I don't know. It's scary. But I know you're telling me. I have clear instruction from your word. I have clear direction from your word of how, you know, and I look at here. It may not have my name in there. It didn't say, Mel Moon, you need to ask Clarissa to marry you. And if thou doest, she shall say, you betcha. She actually did. That's what she said. She said, she didn't say yes. She said, you betcha. And instead of saying, I do at the wedding, she said, you betcha. Mamaw Atkinson said we weren't legally married because she didn't say, I do. She said, you betcha. So anyway, that's a whole other thing there. But here's the thing. You might say, well, I need specific direction for my life. There are principles and there's teaching here that will give you what you need to make the decisions of what kind of person you're making, what kind of decision you need to make. Whatever area of life it is, God gives you the direction and the principles so that you make the specific decisions. So what job should I take? What college should I go to? There's no verse in the Bible that tells you what college you go to, but there are principles there that help you make that decision. And young people, you got to get on the right path now. But it is stepping out into unfamiliar ground. But know this, it's not unknown to God. Amen? It's unknown to me, but it's not unknown to God. He knows. The question is, do I trust him enough to follow him because he knows? Or do I not do it till I know? Faith says, he knows I trust him. It's not unknown to God. And back to that verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive. And God said, I'm going to give this to your family. This is a promise that there's one coming after you that is going to be a blessing to all nations. And so, and part of that promise is, I'm going to let you inherit this whole land. But guess what? He went out not knowing where he was going. I've done that a lot of times, but not by faith. Just I don't know where I'm going. But Abraham didn't know where he was going, but God knew. And God knew what the whole plan was. So Abraham did that. It's a call to step out into the unknown, but it's also a call to separation. He had to step away from some things. He had to leave, and the place where he grew up was very idolatrous, and there's a lot of false religion, and God did call him to separate himself from that. There may be, if you're going to answer the call of God to walk by faith, it means you have to step out into the unknown, which is not unknown to God, but it also means that you're going to trust him enough that you're going to have to separate from some things. There's some baggage that you can't take with you. We want to love everybody. But there might be some folks that you can love them, you can be their friend, but if you're going to hang with them and do what they do, they're going to pull you down. There may be some other things you need to. By the way, you remember the word holy or sanctified? Do you know what that word means? It means to be separated. That's what we're talking about. When you answer the call of faith, it's a call to holiness, separation, right? Are you with me? Are you with me? Yeah. Abraham had to separate from his family. He had to leave some things. Now, he took Lot, his nephew, with him, but knowing how that story goes and what a pain he was and how much trouble he caused, he might should have separated from Lot. But anyway, there's another sermon there. But in 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, this is what God has told us. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Do we trust him enough to do that? Do we trust him enough to do that? Whatever God calls you to, you got to understand this. Because sometimes we just don't want to. And this is what I see with everybody. We're afraid. We don't want to let go of some things. But you've got to have faith and trust that whatever God calls you to is so much better than what you presently have that it blow it out of the water. Satan is real, and he's a liar. He doesn't want you to know that. He'll try to convince you in every way that you can't. You don't know what you're going to do, and all the time, listen, God wants to fill you with such incredible things, but how's he going to fill your hands if you're holding on to something worthless? You got to let go so God can fill you. And what he has is going to be so much better than anything you could ever get for yourself. Amen? All right, let's get through that. All right. And also, it includes the promise of blessing. If you're going to answer the call to faith And not only is it going to be into unfamiliar territory, but we see in Abraham's life, that's true, and also a call to separation. But God's going to promise blessing. God, didn't God say, I'm going to give this land to your seed that comes after, your children that come after you? Did not God say that through you, one is going to come, it's going to be a blessing to all nations? Through you, all nations are going to be blessed. Hey, that includes me, huh? That includes you. We are even blessed today because of Abraham's blessing, because of Jesus. It had to do with Christ. We don't have to understand everything God says. And I don't. Do you? I don't understand, but I do have to trust him enough to do what he says. If you're going to wait till you understand everything, you may be stuck for a while. Some of you, maybe some of us, longer than others. It always makes sense when you look back, though. You know, they say hindsight's 20/20. Some of these steps of faith that we follow him in the blessing, we never would have guessed. You look back, oh, it makes sense. But looking forward, you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to trust him. That's what he's saying. All right, it's impossible to be obedient without being blessed. Have you got that? It is impossible to be obedient without being blessed. The last thing is that, I got to tell you, a disclaimer, is that it will involve trials and testing. It will involve trials and testing. Abraham had trials. Abraham follows God, and no sooner does he get out there than there's a famine in the land. Go to chapter 12 of Genesis and read it. And instead of trusting God to provide, he cuts and runs to Egypt. He goes down there and he almost loses Sarah and said, through Sarah, somebody's going to be born. And through him, this blessing's going to come. He almost loses her. You remember that story? Pharaoh sees her. And I don't know, ladies. Hey, Sarah was what, 90? What does that say about Sarah? And Pharaoh's looking saying, wow. Thank you. But Abraham said a little lie, and he almost lost her. Remember that? God had to rescue him. He comes out of there, he goes back to the altar, finally. But you know, that little mistake cost him. Because later on, we found out he had this dumb idea about, since no baby's come yet, she had a maid named Hagar. Abraham made a mistake there. Sarah says, here, take her and have a child, and that'll be our child. And Abraham's like, sounds like the will of God to me. Didn't work. It wasn't God's plan. We are still suffering because of that today. Huh? We're still suffering because of that. Because out of Ishmael, that son's descendants, come the Arabs, and them and the Jews are still fighting. Okay. But there's going to be trials and testing. But still, Abraham finally had to get rid of the bondwoman and her son. But Abraham went through some ups and downs, but he walked by faith. There's going to be trials and testing. You say you have faith. Listen, not that God's going to just do bad things so you see to. Listen, but God will allow Satan to come at you because Satan says, hey. They're saying they got faith. I don't believe it. God knows whether you do or not. Satan doesn't know all things. So God allows the trial. Satan can't do anything he wants, but God, we find out from the book of Job, but God may allow him to do something. And you're going to go through a test. You're going to go through a trial. Through that, you're going to prove to the enemy, and you're going to learn yourself whether you're for real or not. You're all talk, but when you go through the test, it's when you find out where you are. There are going to be tests. There are going to be trials. What's your reaction to those? Do we take our focus off of God and put it on the trials, or do we keep our focus on Christ and obey? Do we trust him enough to obey? Do we take the focus? Remember when Peter walked out on the water? And I mean, that's an amazing thing. We read that story. That's a big deal. But he got scared and he took his eyes off Jesus. And what happened? He started to sink. And so, anyway, we see what happened, the detour, the deception, the deliverance in Abraham's life and that whole trial he went through. All right, let me wrap this up. And this is where I want to end. Because what is it that you're telling God you'll not do? What are some detours that you're considering taking to get off track? Are you responding to the call of faith, or are you moving forward? It says that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder was God. Later on, I said I'd come back to this, it talks about Abraham, that he, in verse 16, him along with others desired a better country, a heavenly country. He didn't just have his eyes on some inheritance. By the way, Abraham never inherited it. It happened generations down. He was looking for a city. Remember that old song, Looking for a City? That's what that's about. He could trust God in this, all this. It's all this. Lord, it's all this. I've got all this. This is pretty crazy these days. All this that I have to deal with. All this that we have coming at us in our world. But how am I going to get through this? I get through this because I keep my eyes on that. Amen? On Him. I don't get my eyes on the earthly things, the material things. I got my focus on the heavenly things. That's what it said Abraham did. Because if I've got my focus on that, I'm going to get through this. But if I get my eyes on all this, I'm going to get distracted and I'm going to get off track. I've got to keep my eyes on that. And I find out if I've got my eyes on that, that God's going to bless me and help me get through all this. Are you ready to move forward by faith? Will you stand and pray with me?